experience joy in the Christmas season. We're in a series titled Rediscover Christmas. Today is part three, and here's the title of today's message: Finding Joy Amidst Discouraging News. We want to talk about how to find joy despite all the discouraging things going on in our world around us. I brought with me the USA Today. This is dated December 10th, and I looked at some of the titles of the articles, and you know, there's a desperate need for the vaccine. That's the headliner. And then there's something over here about confronting extremism. There's later in the paper, there's something about stimulus talks. There's somebody under investigation. They talk about nursing homes and COVID-19. And the paper is loaded with all kinds of information that has the potential of bringing discouragement into our lives. And I've heard some people say, you know, they quit watching the news because they just don't want to listen to it. And so this thing about joy and what Christ came to bring to us, and yet the clash and the conflict of what's going on in our world is a constant battle. And so today we're going to talk about how to find joy, this thing called joy, in the midst of a world that seems to be unraveling. If you have your Bibles or your sermon listening guide, I want to read verses 10 and 11 from Luke chapter 2. This is the angel announcing to the shepherds some good news, and here's what it says. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." I want you to catch, it's for all people. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Now, notice he said the message is news of great joy. The word great means mega. It's like a supersized deal. When you go to McDonald's, you supersize it. And so this joy is a higher level joy. It's for all people. So as we approach the Christmas season and we're in it, we're walking through it, I want us to understand joy is one of those things that God wants to plant deeply into your life. I've got some pictures. Here's the first one. It's of Old Faithful in Yellowstone National Park. Now, for those of you that have been there, you know, you'll recognize some of these, but Old Faithful is a geyser that erupts about 20 times a day, and it can shoot up to 180 feet into the air. And that's over half of a football field. And it does that because underneath, it's like a super volcano of lava. And the conditions are such with the plate tectonics that this just spouts up automatically. It's consistent. It happens over and over and over again. It's known as Old Faithful. Well, I got three other pictures. Here's another one of a different geyser. Again, it just shoots into the air and creates this beautiful effect. Here's another. Just another shot of some of the beauty of a geyser like this. And here's the last one. You know, so there's these geysers all over the world that just kind of shoot things into the air. And as I think about joy, joy is one of these things that just, when Christ is in our life, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. There's nine that the Bible talks about. The second one, love, joy, is number two. And joy is something that needs to be a part of our life. And I think it's like a geyser. It just kind of shoots up into the air. I want to give you a definition of joy, and then I'm going to read something by Rick Warren. But here's what I want you to think of joy as. It's a real simple version. Joy is the gush of God's presence in my life. In other words, if we are walking with Christ, this whole sense of joy, this sense of confidence, this sense of gladness should be reflected in our life. I'll call it the gush of God's presence. Now, in your notes, there's a more formal definition, which is very good, by Rick Warren. Let me read it to you. He says, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in every situation. So Rick Warren says, joy is this settled assurance, a quiet confidence that whatever's going on around me, I don't know, God's in control, He's in charge, and I choose, I make a choice to experience, I praise God, and I will experience joy. I think it's the gush of God's presence in your life. You know, it's amazing to me, you can look at some people's lives and you just see it. You're in their presence, they don't have to say anything. But you look at certain people's lives and they somehow exude a sense of quiet joy, a confidence. It's attractive and magnetic. That's what God wants to develop in each of us. Joy in the midst of discouraging news. Do you know that joy is serious business in heaven? Here's a quote. I'll have Allison put it up. C.S. Lewis, you know why? The Bible says that there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. In other words, when one person comes to Christ and puts their faith in Him, they rejoice. There's joy in heaven. It's serious business up there. And so when you put your faith in Christ, when you cross that line and you began to live for Him, you realize that there was a geyser that went off in heaven called joy. It just shot up all over the place because there's joy in the presence of the angels. They rejoice when a sinner repents. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to give you three simple words, 3 points, and we're going to walk through how to get joy in your life. I want you to think of it as you're building the framework for your geyser, your sense of gush of God's presence in out of your life. It's something that, it's a fruit that just grows. It's natural. It just comes out when you abide in Him. So 3 simple words this morning as we walk through how to find joy when everything around us seems to be falling apart. In your notes, let's get started. Number one, the first thing we do is we trust God that your circumstances will work for good. It's trusting God that your set of circumstances, whatever they are working for good. Now, here's the foundation promise. I love this verse, Romans 8:28. Let's read it together. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Paul says this, know this, what is going on in your life, your circumstances, even though they might be bad or difficult and trying, God can make them work for good. You know what we need to do? We need to trust God that that is so. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do you realize that trust is part of the structure, the framework that creates a geyser that can gush joy, God's presence in and through your life? Let me give you a couple of examples. And it's taken from the Christmas text. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Let me read them to you. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. Now, Mary and Joseph were required to go there to register, to make this trip. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Now, if you're pregnant, ladies, do you really want to travel a long distance when you're ready or getting close to deliver? You know, the answer is no, but they had to go. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So here's the circumstances of Mary and Joseph's life. Number one, she's probably 9 months pregnant and she has to make a journey. Does she want to do that? No. The circumstances didn't quite make sense, or they were not convenient and comfortable. They get there, and so they go to an inn to check in, and there's no more space. People have beat them to the inn, and it's all filled up. And it says there's no room for them, and they ended up finding a place in some kind of a cattle stall for the night, and that's where Jesus was born. Listen, the circumstances were against them. They were pushing back. They weren't convenient or comfortable. And trust is the thing that holds us in place when our circumstances are against us. You know, why wouldn't God work it out so that there was room in the inn, or it was more a better place for them to stay? I think in God's providence, he wanted to show the humility and the humbleness of who he is. And so Jesus was born in this stable, in this place that was cold and basic and the smell of animals. He was born there, and it reflected his humility to come to earth to serve mankind. You see, you may be in a situation today where your circumstances are pushing back and you don't like them and they're not convenient, but we have to trust that God is somehow, some way, using them for his purposes. So word number one, if you want joy in your life, go into your heart and say, am I trusting in the midst of the pandemic, in the midst of the struggles at work or with family or not being able to see other people? And this whole sense of trust is a big deal. But here's what it does. It somehow releases and unleashes joy in our life. That's what trust does for us. Number two, the second thing that, second word is this. Believe God for his higher purpose in your life. We need to believe God for the higher purpose or purposes in our life. Here's what Jesus said in Mark 9. He says, everything is possible for him who believes. Let me just ask you a question. How deep, how wide, how strong is your belief in God's purpose for your life? Because belief is another part of the structure inside us, the container that allows us to gush the presence of God just by virtue of Christ living in us. Let's read together Luke, it's chapter 2, I believe, 34 to 38 in your notes. This is when Mary was visited by the angel and the announcement was made that she was going to have a baby. And so let's read this together. How will this be? Mary asked the angel. Since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. I love this passage. It's actually chapter 1. But I want to paint a picture here. God steps into Mary's life and wants to do something impossible to her. And the angel appears, and Mary says, well, how can this be? How will this happen? A fair question. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit of God will come upon you in power, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and she will become pregnant through that. And she heard the story after she asked the question. And now I want you to notice her response. She answered, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. You know what she did? She believed. She didn't question any further. She wasn't a Moses that came up with 3 or 4 reasons why, God, are you sure? Can you do this? She just said, you know what? I believe. And you know what? God wants you and me to have the same response. What is it that he's saying to you in your life that seems impossible? And he says, wait a minute, if you trust me and you believe, the Holy Spirit will make this happen. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. You see, that's the game changer in bringing the impossibility, the miracle, into reality. It's the Holy Spirit. And what he's looking for from us is the response of Mary that says, Lord, I'm your servant. May it be to me as you have said. You see, I believe that God is speaking to each person's heart. And there's issues in all of our lives. But joy is such that when we respond in faith to what we're asking God's for, what he's speaking into our life, whether it's our future, whether it's our current situation, it could be in a marriage, it could be in a family issue, it could be finances, it could be a host of things. And we say, Lord, I'm your servant. May it be to me as you have said. It's believing. And Mary somehow, she's just a young lady in the simplicity of faith, went into that position and said, I believe. You see, when you and I do that, I believe the joy factor, God's presence, shows up. It's released. It becomes a gush, a geyser. It's his presence that we're believing that all things are going to work out, even though it doesn't make sense and we don't understand how it can actually happen. So word one, trust. Number two, believe. Here's the third one. The third word in this structure is this: know that you will overcome. Know that you will overcome. There's in the book of Romans, Paul goes into this kind of dialogue and question and answer time. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? He says, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to the slaughtered. I think what he's saying is this. What is it that can make us doubt or somehow help us to be turned away from trusting and believing and knowing we'll overcome? He says, there's all these hardships. But here's what he says. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul knew something. Last night on the World News, I believe it was NBC, they had a report on, I believe it was 12 or 16, I think it was 16 high school seniors that they're following. And they interviewed them and connected with them at the very beginning of the pandemic. And now here it is 9 months later, and they're giving a report. And they had all these pictures of these kids. They're high schoolers. And I remember four of them talking. One girl had tears in her eyes. And she was just struggling with the learning, the remote learning, and not being able to get together with her classmates. And she had tears in her eyes. Another guy or another person was just, you know, said it's very stressful, just a hard time. There's another kid that says his grades weren't as good. But then there came to the fourth one. It was a girl. And she's sitting there. And here's what she said. She said, you know what? I learned at home that I'm not supposed to let life run me over. She says, I'm doing the best I can, and I'm going to be okay. Here's a high school kid. It's the middle of the pandemic. She says, I've learned at home that life is not supposed to run me over. Her attitude was different. The way she presented herself, she had confidence. She had a sense of command. And she said, I'm doing the best I can, and it's going to be okay. And I thought to myself, this gal knows something. If we were to do a deeper dive into her home, here's what I think we'd find out. She either has parents, grandparents, or somebody in her life that has drilled into her the text that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. She knows something. And as I thought about it, hey, I've been taught at home, life is not supposed to run me over. Paul says we are more than conquerors. And I think that girl, that young lady, knew something. She had confidence that despite the discouraging news, despite being disconnected from her friends, she was not going to let that turn her away from her life in finding joy and fulfillment and satisfaction. And she said, I'm doing the best I can. I'm going to be okay. I love that. How about all of us today? Do you feel like life is running you over? God's word says, hey, know that you're a conqueror. Know that you're going to come out on top. And you know what you do when you trust, you believe, and you know? You build an inner structure inside your heart. I think it becomes a geyser. It gushes the presence of God. It's a natural outflow. It's just something that happens. It's a fruit of His Spirit. The angel said this, I bring you good news of great joy. It's for all the people. Joy is a gift. It's something He wants you to know. Don't let life run you over. Trust and believe and say, God, I know I will overcome this, and I'm going to trust you to be in control even as I go through it and somehow maintain an attitude of being positive and joyful in the midst of it. Well, three simple words in review. Trust is one. The second is to believe. The third is to know. I want to close with a verse out of Nehemiah. He's telling the people, he says, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. You know, this Christmas season, we have a couple weeks left. Do something for somebody else. Just whatever you have, go share it with them. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let joy, God's presence, the gladness of Christ in us, this sense of aliveness, this sense of His presence, let it be your strength. Here's a final picture. It's a quote. Here's what it says, joy is the infallible sign of the presence of God. It's the sign of the presence of God. It becomes a geyser. Other people see it. It's normal. It's natural. And God is honored. You know why? Because the angel said the message for all of us is good news of great joy. Let's bow for prayer. Father, this morning, we thank you that you want to deposit joy into our life. Despite all the bad stuff going on around us, I pray you'll help each of us here today to not let life run us over, to push back, to say, wait a minute, I'm a conqueror. I'm an overcomer. You have defeated this on my behalf. I will be strong. I will rise up. I will somehow come out on top because I'm trusting you, I'm believing you, and I know that your power in me will make me a conqueror. Father, I ask your blessing on every heart here that you will lift us up from the inside to experience joy in a new way, the gush of your presence this Christmas season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.